بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. أما بعد، we continue reading in the chapter باب ما جاء أن بعض هذه الأمة يعبدوا الأوثان. The author, he had mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, the chapter that which has come with regards to the clarification, meaning in the Quran and in the Sunnah, that some of this ummah, they will worship idols. We have seen the three verses that the author mentioned, also the clarification of that understanding with the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, and these affairs have proceeded. And the point of evidence with regards to this issue that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clarified that verily the people or this ummah, some of this ummah, they will follow the ways of the Jews and Christians, and they will follow the ways of those who have proceeded from the previous nations, and he precisely in detail, and that if one of them were to do some action of misguidance, then there will be someone from this ummah likewise who will do that, even to the extent of the people of knowledge. Just as the people of knowledge of the Jews, they went astray, then likewise there will be individuals from those who ascribe to knowledge in this ummah likewise who will go astray and lead others astray, and who will go astray and prefer shirk over tawheed, and prefer the dunya over the hereafter. And likewise, if there are devout worshippers who have went astray in the previous nations, we will find that likewise in this ummah from those who are ignorant as well, just as has proceeded. And likewise, if we find that the previous nations, they had built places of worship over the graves of those whom they claim to be righteous, we'll find likewise in this ummah someone who will do these affairs. And likewise, if we see that in the previous nations there are those who had declared that which is haram to be permissible, like ar-riba, like the Jews, they had claimed that they had sought to make riba permissible, وَقَدْ نُهُوا عَنْهُ, and they were prohibited from that, then likewise you will find in this ummah some misguided and deviant individuals claiming that it is permissible and bringing some false interpretations. وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانِ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانِ. So the author, he continues to mention more evidence with regards to this, and we read, and he says, وَلِي مُسْلِمِينَ عن ثوبان رضي الله عنه, and also in Sahih Muslim, from the narration of ثوبان رضي الله عنه. ثوبان, he's the Mawla and the freed slave of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he used to serve the Prophet and help him صلى الله عليه وسلم. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, إن الله زوى للأرض. إن الله زوى لي الأرض. That verily Allah had gathered for me the earth. ورأيت مشارقها ومغاربها, and I saw its east and its west, and the east and the west of the earth. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He had given the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the ability to see the earth in this manner. And He had made it easy for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for him to see in this manner. Allah gathered the earth for him as if he's looking at it in front of him. And this is similar to what occurred on the night of Al-Isra. And whenever he returned and the Jews asked him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to describe for them Al-Quds and to describe for them Jerusalem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He showed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the alleys and the avenues of that town and of that city, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was looking at it directly, and he was able to see that by the permission of Allah, and he described it to them precisely, and they were amazed. Similar like this, إِنَّ اللَّهَ زَوَى لِي الْأَرْضِ. Verily Allah, He has gathered, and زَوَى أَيْ جَمَعَ وَضَمْ, gathered the ends of the earth for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so that he could see it. Some of the people of knowledge mention it as if he's could hold it, somebody is holding a piece of bread in their hand, and he could see it in this manner from all sides. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given this ability by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. He is able to do all things. And this was a favor and a blessing that Allah bestowed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He seen the earth in this manner. Wa inna ummati sayablughu mulkuha ma zuwiya li minha. And that my ummah, its kingdom, will reach that which was gathered for me. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he seen the ends of the earth, the east and the west, and he seen the distance that his ummah will reach, and the kingdom of his ummah and the khilafah which would reach. And this is something that is from the signs of prophethood. And what the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the prophets, or that the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, hadhihi al-ummah, that this ummah, it reached all the way to the west, all the way to Tanja, which is Tangier, in the ends of Morocco, all the way to the ocean, and even above that, up into Andalus, which is in Spain, Hispania, and even the Muslim Empire, it reached into close to the borders of France. This is in the west, and as for in the east, it reached past As-Sindh and past Al-Hind, and even to the borders of As-Sin. And it reached great distances, the empire of this ummah in the early days, particularly in the time of Umar, and after that, radiyallahu anhu. But as for to the north and to the south, then the ummah did not stretch. It is great. Rather, the empire, this Islamic empire, it went to vast distances in the east and in the west. But as for the north and the south, then it was not to that extent. And this is also a sign of prophethood, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that I saw the east and the west, and that my ummah will reach, or the kingdom of my ummah and the empire of my ummah will reach that which was shown to me. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَأُعْطِيتُ الْكَنْزَيْنِ, and I was given the two kens, and I was given the two treasures, الْأَحْمَرُ وَالْأَبْيَضُ, then the red and the white. And I was given the two treasures, the red and the white. Al-Ahmar wal-Abyad. This is in reference to the Al-Ahmar is al-Dhahab. Al-Ahmar is al-Dhahab. The red, meaning the gold. And al-Abyad, al-Fidda, is silver. Is in reference to silver. And the kingdom of Qaisar, which was the king of Ar-Rum, it was known that that which was prevalent in their wealth was gold. And this is in reference to the kingdom of Ar-Rum. وَأُعْطِيتُ الْكَنْزَيْنِ الْأَحْمَرِ. Naam, and this is the gold that was with Qaisar, who was the king of Ar-Rum. And Al-Abyad, which is referring to Al-Fidda, and also Al-Jawahir. And this was what was prevalent from the wealth of Kisra, who is the king of Al-Furs, yani the Persians. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is saying here, and I've been given the two treasures, meaning the kingdoms of Ar-Rum and of Al-Furs. And this is something likewise that clarifies his prophethood sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because his ummah was given this after him. His ummah was given this after them, and in the time of Umar radiyallahu anhu, the treasures of Qaisar and Kisra were brought to him. The king, their wealth and all of their property, they overcome those two great nations. In those days, those were the super nations, Al-Furs and Ar-Rum, the Roman Empire, and likewise the Persian Empire. These were the greatest nations. And by the aid and the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal, the companions and those tabi'in along with them, they conquered them. And they used the wealth of those empires to spread the deen, and to fight in the path of Allah, and to spread al-Islam. And this is a key to open the understanding of why the people of Iran, they hate Umar so much, radiallahu anhu, because he is the one who opened their land and conquered their land, and he removed their falsehood and defeated the religion of their forefathers. So they claim their claim, but in reality, they are from the worst of the people, Ar-Rafidha, and they have that foul creed, and they curse Abu Bakr and Umar, but they especially have a severe hatred for Umar, and it is known about them and their filthy way, that even they teach their children to hate Abu Bakr and Umar and to hate Aisha. And from the things that they do to show their severe enmity and hatred, particularly for Umar, is that they'll write his name under their shoes and so they can walk on his name, radiallahu anhu. And all of this, their false claims that they have, but all of this in reality is their enmity and their jealousy and their hiqd and their rancor and hatred, because he conquered the nation of their forefathers and he removed the falsehood of their religion. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ فَرَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَأَنَ الصَّحَابَةِ أَجْمَعِينَ. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I have been given al-ahmar wa al-abyad. This did not happen in his lifetime. Rather, this happened after his death sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the fact that he was given that, meaning his ummah, that which was given to his ummah is given to him, because he is the imam of this ummah and the prophet of this ummah sallallahu wa salamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi. So this is also from the prophecy and the clarification that he is the messenger of Allah and he received revelation, that he was given the two treasures, al-ahmar, which is in reference to the gold of Qaisar, which was the prevalent wealth in the time, and those days in the kingdom and the empire of Ar-Rum, the Roman Empire. Although they had other types of wealth, likewise, but this was the main type of wealth they had, and they were known for al-ahmar, al-dhahab. And as for Kisra and al-Furs and Faris, they were known to have the silver and likewise the gems and the jewels, and this is being referenced to the treasure that is al-abyad. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inni sa'altu rabbi li ummati an la yuhlikaha bi sanatin 'am aw bi sanatin bi 'am. And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I asked my Lord for my ummah that he will not destroy them by an overcoming drought or famine, that he will not destroy them by a prevailing and overcoming drought or famine. And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa an la yusallita alayhim aduwan min siwa anfusihim fayastabiha baydatahum. And I asked my Lord that he will not set or give authority to an enemy outside of them that will wipe them out entirely all at once. Wa inna rabbi qala, and verily my Lord he said, ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, idha qadaytu qada'an fa innahu la yurad. And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that my Lord he said to me, O Muhammad, that verily if I decree a decree, it cannot be stopped, and no one can repel it. Wa inni a'taytuka li ummatika alla uhlikahum bi sanatin 'amma. And verily I have given you for your ummah that I will not destroy them by a great famine all at once. Bi sanatin bi 'amma wa bi sanatin 'amma. As-sana yani al-jadb wa al-qahd alladhi yakunu bihi al-halak al-'am. As-sana, from the meanings of this word, is that it is referring to a drought and famine. But sanad 'amma, one that would destroy all things all at one time. It would be an all-encompassing drought that would bring great destruction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he answered his prophet in this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would not destroy them in this manner. And then he said to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَلَّا أُسَلِّطَ عَلَيْهِمْ عَدُوًا مِنْ سِوَ أَنْفُسِهِمْ فَيَسْتَبِيحَ بَيْضَاتُهُمْ. And I will not also put in charge or give power to an enemy over them that will wipe them out all at once. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَقْطَارِهَا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِمْ مَنْ بِأَقْطَارِهَا. Even if all of the people in the earth from all ends of the earth or all regions were to gather upon them. حَتَّى يَكُونَ بَعْضُهُمْ يُهْلِكُ بَعْضًا وَيَسْبِي بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he responded to the Prophet in this supplication likewise. And he said, and likewise, I will not put an enemy over your ummah. I will not give them an enemy over your ummah from those outside of them who will wipe them out entirely, even if they were to gather from all ends of the earth, until they destroy one another and they take one another captives. Meaning that this second supplication is answered with a condition. That the second supplication is answered with a condition. So we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made dua for the ummah. And from his dua, that they will not be destroyed by a great famine and a widespread famine and drought. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned that he answered this supplication for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for his ummah. As for the second supplication, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua that Allah will not destroy them by an enemy outside of themselves. and that would wipe them out all at one time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he told his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he answered that with the condition that he will not destroy them, or he will not allow an enemy to destroy them and have authority and power over them, and wipe them out all at once, or the majority of them, even if they gathered from every region in the earth, that this will not be allowed for them, for the enemies to do, the enemies outside of the Muslims, meaning the disbelievers, until they themselves fight and destroy themselves, and until they take themselves captives. Meaning that if this occurs, then an enemy will have authority over them. Meaning that whenever they start to fight one another, and they differ, and they separate, and they divide, and they spill the blood of one another, and they take one another captive, any of the Muslims, to themselves, whenever their enmity and hatred is turned towards themselves, and they fight amongst themselves, and differ, and divide amongst themselves, and take any captives from each other, any of the Muslims themselves, then at this time, they will, Allah will allow the enemy, the disbelievers, to have authority over them. Allahu al-musta'an. Wallahu al-musta'an. So the author, he mentions another wording of this narration. He says, وَرَوَاهُ الْبَرْقَانِي فِي صَحِيحِهِ وَزَادِ. And also this narration here, the narration of Thoban, radiallahu anhu, has been narrated by al-Barqani. Al-Barqani, he is from the great scholars of hadith, and he is known as Abu Bakr Ahmad ibn Muhammad Al-Khawarizmi, Al-Shafi'i, Al-Barqani, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 425, and he's from the students of Ad-Darqutni, Al-Imam Ad-Darqutni, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And likewise, from his students is Al-Khatib Al-Baghdadi, and he's from the great scholars of hadith, and he's from the later generations, but from those who narrate with chain, and the chain continued until the time of Bayhaqi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So Al-Khadib, he mentioned about his Shaykh Al-Barqani, the one who's being referred to here, is that he was kana thabtan wa wadi'an wa lam nara fi shuyukhina athbata minhu. Al-Khatib Al-Baghdadi, he said about Al-Barqani that he was steadfast, and he was firm, and he was pious, and he was righteous, far away from the haram, and that he'd never seen anyone from his sheikhs, from his teachers, from his shuyukh, that was more firm and steadfast than him, and truthful and honest. Arifan bil fiqh, and he was very knowledgeable with regards to al fiqh. Kathiru tasanif, and he had many works that he had authored. From the works that he authored, Musnad. He authored a Musnad, and he mentioned in his Musnad the hadith that are found in Bukhari and Muslim. Likewise, he gathered the narrations of al-Thawri and al-Shu'bah. This is what had been mentioned about him. And that Musnad that he gathered, rahimahullahu ta'ala, this is what the author is referring to, fi sahihihi, in his authentic work. So Al-Barqani, he mentioned another wording of this narration, this narration has an additional wording. But also Abu Dawood in his Sunan, he mentioned the same wording as well, and it is authentic. And so the author, he says, wazada, and in the wording of Barqani, he increased or added an additional wording. And likewise, to clarify the authenticity of this wording as well, and to see the strength of it, it's also found in Sunan Abi Dawud, and other than that, and the narration, as the author mentioned, is authentic. Fi sahih, it is authentic. So he says, وَإِنَّمَا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ وَإِنَّمَا أَخَافُ عَلَى أُمَّتِي الْأَئِمَّةِ الْمُضِلِّينَ. And that which I truly fear for my ummah is the misguided imams. وَإِذَا وَقَعَ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّيْفُ لَمْ يُرْفَى إِلَى يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And if the sword befalls them, it will not be raised until the day of resurrection. And also, this is another sign of his prophethood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whenever the saif fell on this ummah, meaning at the time of the murder of Uthman radiallahu anhu, and the Muslims began fighting one another, it has not been raised until this day, and it will not be raised, meaning that the believers will continue to fight each other, and then you will find individuals from this ummah who will fight each other, Muslims fighting others and Muslims killing others in this manner. And this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had mentioned. وَلَا تُقُمُ السَّاعَةُ حَتَّى يَلْحَقَ حَيٌّ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي بِالْمُشْرِكِينَ. And this is the shahid and the purpose for this narration. And he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the hour will not be established until hay from my ummah will join the mushrikeen. Will join the mushrikeen. Hay, yani a qabila, until a tribe. and the meaning is tribes, yani from my ummah will join the mushrikeen. Hatta ta'abuda fi'amun min ummati al-awthan, until there will be numerous groups, fi'am yani jama'at kathira, until there will be numerous groups from my ummah who worship awthan. This is exactly what the author he has mentioned. Anna ba'adha hadhihi al-ummah ya'budu al-awthan, that some of this ummah worship awthan. And here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is saying that clearly the hour will not be established until a tribe from my ummah will be joined with the mushrikeen, with the pagans and polytheists, and until groups, numerous groups from my ummah will worship awthan, will worship idols. Worship idols. وَإِنَّهُ سَيَكُونُ فِي أُمَّتِكَ ذَبُونَ ثَلَاثُونَ, and verily there will be 30 liars in my ummah. There will be 30 liars in my ummah. كُلُّهُمْ يَزْعُبُ أَنَّهُ نَبِي, and every one of them will claim that he's a prophet. And this is something that has occurred, and then even in the time of the Prophet Musaylimah the liar, he claimed he was a prophet, and even after that there were other individuals who claimed that they were prophets, and they had individuals who followed them. Musaylimah, he had individuals following him, and he had backing, and he had followers, and they fought, and they had great battle after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Muslims and Musaylimah al-Kadhab, who claimed to be a prophet, but he was killed, alhamdulillah. He was killed, alhamdulillah, and his falsehood was clarified. But even in the battle against him, there were many of the companions who died, and many of the believers were martyred in that battle. And even after that, there were others who claimed to have prophethood, and they had followers, and they were fought. This occurred more than one time in the early generations. Even sometimes there were individuals who claimed prophethood, and then after that they repented, and their Islam became good. And this has occurred in two or three more people. Even a woman from the tribe of Banu Tamim claimed that she was a female prophet, and then she repented from that, alhamdulillah. But the point is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says that وَإِنَّهُ سَيَكُونُ فِي أُمَّتِكَ ذَبُونَ ثَلَاثُونَ, that verily there are going to be 30 liars in my ummah. كُلُّهُمْ يَزْعُمُ أَنَّهُ نَبِي, every one of them claims that he's a prophet. So some of the people of knowledge mentioned that these 30, they're the ones who are strong and they have followers. But as for those who claim prophethood, then there have been many of them. But many of them, but because they were crazy, they were majnoon or majaneen. They're people who had lost their minds, and they had claimed that they're prophets, not because they really believed that, but because they were crazy. They're insane, and they had lost their minds, and they made the statement and the likes like this. But there were individuals who claimed prophethood, and they had backing, and they had followers, and the likes like this. And he from this ummah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَأَنَا خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّ لَا نَبِيَ بَعْدِي, that there's going to be in my ummah 30 liars, all of them claiming that they're a prophet, and I'm the seal of prophets, and there's no prophet after me. And likewise, in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now he clarifies, and although there will be numerous groups who worship idols from this ummah, and although there will be individuals who imitate the Jews and the Christians and the previous nations in each of their affairs, but the bushra and the glad tidings comes at the end of this narration, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَلَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِنْ أُمَّتِي عَلَى الْحَقِّ مَنْصُورًا, but there will always remain a group from my ummah who was aided and supported and given victory upon the truth. لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ مِنْ خَذَلَهُمْ, no harm will come to them from those who abandon them. حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, until the command of Allah comes. So we see that in this narration, it is very clear what the author has mentioned, that some of this ummah, they will fall into shirk. And this is something that is mentioned directly in this narration. And this narration is found in the Musnad of Al-Burqani, and likewise it's found in Sunan Abi Dawood. And the narration is authentic, and it's also found in Ibn Majah, and other than that. And it is an authentic narration, this narration here with this extra wording, the verity, what I fear the most for my ummah are the misguided imams. And the portion whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that this hour will not be established until tribes from my ummah, they will meet and join the mushrikeen, and until many groups from my ummah, they will worship awthan. And this is the shahid from this, and this is a clear proof and evidence and refutation for those who claim that this ummah will never fall into shirk, and that false shubha has proceeded, and we have seen the clarification of that. Walillahi alhamd. But we see here that the author, he mentions now, وَفِيهِ مَسَائِلٍ, and in this chapter there are benefits that are derived from this and issues. الأولى تفسير آية النساء. The first one is the tafsir, or the interpretation of the verse in Nisa, and that has preceded, and the first verse. الثانية تفسير آية المائدة. الثالثة تفسير آية الكهف. So the first three fawaid he's referring to, rahimahullah, is the interpretation of those verses that are mentioned in the first of this chapter, and we have seen that which is related to that and the clarification of that. الرابعة وهي من أهمها. The fourth mas'ala, and it is from the most important. ما معنى الإيمان بالجبت والطاغوت في هذا الموضع؟ هل هو اعتقاد قلب أو هو موافقة أصحابها مع بغضها ومعرفة بطانها؟ He said the fourth one and the most important is that what is the meaning of believing in Egypt and Tawgut in this verse? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the Jews, and he says, أَلَمْ تَرَى إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَسِيبًا مِنَ الْكِتَابِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْجِبْتِ وَالطَّاغُوتِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْجِبْتِ وَالطَّاغُوتِ. And we have seen the reason for the revelation of this verse, and that two of the scholars of the Jews, they came, they were with the Mushrikun. They came to the Mushrikun, and the Mushrikun asked them, who is more guided, us or Muhammad? And the Jews, they know that the Mushrikun are severely misguided, and they're upon shirk, and that they worship idols that do not benefit them. Even at this time, while they know this, they claim that the Mushrikun are more guided than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, this is why it's mentioned that they believe in Jibd and Tawgut. Now, but in their heart they know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam way is better than the Mushrikeen. That they know that his way is better than the Mushrikeen, is better than worshipping idols. This is something that those Jews, they knew that. And so the author, he's saying, هَلْ هُوْ اِعْتِقَالُ الْقَلْبِ. Did they believe that in their heart, that the Mushrikun are really better? Or was it just that they agreed with them while they disliked the way and they believed that they were upon falsehood? And this is the case. And they agreed with the Mushrikeen, even though they did not like them. But because of their severe jealousy and animosity for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they claimed that they lied. And they claimed that the Mushrikun are upon a better way. While they know that in their hearts that they are not upon a better way. And what carried them to do that? Al-Hasad. Hasadan min inda anfusihim min ba'di ma tabayyana lahum al-haq. Number 5, قولهم إن الكفار الذين يعرفون كفرهم أهدى سبيلا من المؤمنين. The fifth one is that they have claimed that the disbelievers, those whom they know their disbelief, yani those Jews, they know the disbelief of those mushrikeen, and they claim that they are upon a better path than the believers. السادسة وهو وهي المقصود بترجمة. The sixth one, and this is the intent from this chapter. أن هذا لابد أن يوجد في هذه الأمة كما تقرر في حديث أبي سعيد. And that this affair must occur in this Ummah, just as has been established in the Hadith of Abi Sa'id. And that this must occur in this Ummah, meaning that just as the ulama, or some of the ulama of the Yahud, like has preceded Huyay ibn Akhtab or Ka'b ibn Ashraf, those two Jews that came to the Mushrikeen, they were from the most knowledgeable. They were from the Ahbar. They were from the ulama of the Yahud. And what did they do? Out of their envy and the jealousy and the misguidance that they were upon, they claimed that shirk was better than the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They preferred shirk and the ways of shirk over the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the author, he is saying, and this is the intent from this issue, that likewise there will be in this ummah as well people who ascribe to knowledge from the ulama of this ummah, who also will prefer shirk over the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the reason for the people to fall into shirk. السابعة تصريح بوقوعها عني عبادة الأوثان. And the seventh mas'ala is that it has been mentioned directly that worshipping idols will occur in this ummah. في هذه الأمة في جموع كثيرة. And many of the groups, and many of the groups. يعني فئام means يعني جماعات كثيرة. So this is something that is established, and rather it's mentioned directly, that many groups will fall into worshipping Authan. Authan, idols. الثامنة العجب العجاب. The most amazing affair. خروج من يدعي نبوته مثل المختار مع تكلمه بالشهادتين وتسريحه بأنه من هذه الأمة وأن الرسول حق والقرآن حق وفيه أن محمدا خاتم النبيين ومع هذا يصدق في هذا كله. ما تضاد الواضح. وقد خرج المختار في آخر عصر الصحابة وتبعه في أم كثير. So the author, he mentions the eighth mas'ala, and this is an amazing, a very amazing affair. And it is that individuals have appeared from this ummah and they claim to be prophets. They appear from this ummah. Any meaning, they appear from this ummah, meaning they take the shahada. And they testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. He says, and that this is the most amazing affair, that people will appear from this ummah who claim prophethood, like Al-Mukhtar. Al-Mukhtar, he's Mukhtar ibn Abi Ubaid. And he came in the end of the Khilafah of Ibn Abdullah ibn Zubayr, and he conquered Kufa, and he was from this ummah, and then suddenly he claimed he was a prophet. This man here, Mukhtar, he had fought and battled and conquered Kufa, and he had made effort, and then suddenly he claimed he was a prophet. Suddenly he claimed he was a prophet. This was in the end of the time of Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Radiallahu anhuma. So the author, he says that like Mukhtar, this person here, and he stated the shahadatain, and he had mentioned directly that he's from this ummah, and he declared that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the truth, and that the Quran is the truth, and in the Quran is the fact that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's a seal of prophets, and along with all of this, people believed him, and followed him, and. This is the most clear contradiction. And Mukhtar, he came and appeared in the end of the era of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and many people followed him. And this is an amazing affair, subhanAllah. How could this man make the shahada and declare the statement that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Quran is the truth, and inside the Quran is the verse that has clear مَكَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ Rasulullah wa khatam al-nabiyyin, but he's the seal of all prophets. It's mentioned in the Quran. People memorize the Quran and recite it in salat. Subhanallah. And this man, he made the statement. He believes in this, and then after that, he's going to claim that he's a prophet. And then even after that, there's going to be individuals who also make the shahada and they follow him. Wallahu al-musta'an. This is all clear clarification that the command is in the hands of Allah, and that whoever Allah guides, then he cannot be misguided, and whoever Allah does not guide, then he can never be guided, and that the guidance in al-hidayah wal-dhalala بقدر الله سبحانه وتعالى بقدر الله وقضائه تبارك وتعالى نسأله سبحانه وتعالى الهادي أن يهدينا إليه الصراط المستقيمة. التاسعة, the ninth مسألة, البشارة بأن الحق لا يزور بالكلية كما زال فيما مضى بل لا تزور عليه طائفة لا تزال عليه طائفة. The ninth مسألة is the great glad tidings that the truth will not go away altogether ever. It will never be wiped out entirely, but rather it will continue, and it will continue to be present, to be prevalent, and there will always be a group victorious and steadfast and aided upon the truth. And this is the group that every Muslim should strive to be from, that every Muslim should learn their way, the way of that group, and the creed of that group, and the methodology of that group, and who are the leaders of that group, and who are those upon that group in their time, like in our time today, who are those who are upon that way. This is a must to know in order to be upon that way. And everybody wants to be from the safe sect and from the group that is upright and successful and aided. And they are a few, ta'ifa, min al-mu'mineen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His mercy and His grace to guide us to that way, into that path, and give us steadfastness upon that way. Al-Ashira, al-Ayatul Azima, the ninth, the tenth, the mas'ala, the great sign, أَنَّهُمْ مَعْقِلَتِهِمْ لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ مَنْ خَذَلَهُمْ وَلَا خَالَفَهُمْ وَلَا مَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ. The great sign, ayat, sign of their authenticity, and the fact that they're upon the truth, that even though they are few, that those who abandon them and leave them, and those who oppose them, those who don't like them, talk about it, they will not harm them. They will not harm them because they're aided. Ta'ifatun mansura. They're a ta'ifa mansura. Mansuratun al-haq. That no harm comes to them, even if they're few. Even if they're few, there's going to be people who abandon them. There's going to be people who abandon them. And there's going to be people who harm them. There's going to be people who seek to oppose them. And the likes like this, but that will not harm them. that will not harm them, because they are upon the truth, and their aid comes from Allah. And their aid comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, a believer, if he finds that path that is correct and upright, and he follows that path, and he fears Allah, and he does not fear the people. From the ways of those abandoning groups, those groups that abandon the believers, is that they try to make the believers fear them and fear the people. And they try to scare the people with them and with their numbers and the likes like this. And that is from the weakness in their faith and in their deen. And the believers, they're not afraid of the people. Rather, they're afraid of the Lord of the people. And they're afraid of the creator of the people, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they're afraid of their sins, not afraid of individuals. Wallahi alhamd. Naam, so al-hadiyat al-ashrah, the 11th benefit, anna dhalika ila ashrat al-sa'ah, and that this will occur until the signs of the hour, meaning that this victorious group will be apparent until the hatta ani taqum al-sa'ah, meaning just before the establishment of the sa'ah, of the hour, and because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will send the wind. This has come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the end days, that there will be a wind that will come and that will take the soul of every believer that is alive on the day on the earth at that time, and then there will be no one will be left on the earth except the evil and ashrar al-khalq, the worst of all the people, and the judgment or the day of resurrection will be established while they're alive. Iyadhan billah. So therefore, the meaning of this hadith, that there will always remain a group of victorious upon the truth until the day of judgment, and just before the day of judgment, and all the way until just before the establishment of the day of judgment, because at the time of the day of judgment, whenever the major signs come, then there will be a wind that will come that will take the soul gently of every believer, and the believers, they will all die. And then at this time, the wicked and the evil people will be alive on the earth alone, and the resurrection will be established upon them. نسأل الله العافية والسلامة. He says here, منها إخباره بأن الله زوله المشارق والمغارب. الثانية عشرة عفوا, the 12th مسألة, ما فيه من الآيات العظيمة. That which is in this chapter, and from these narrations, from the major and the great signs and evidences and proofs of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says from them, إخباره بأن الله زوله المشارق والمغارب وأخبر بمعنى ذلك وقع كما أخبر بخلاف الجنوب والشمام. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has informed us that Allah had gathered the east and the west of the earth, and showed it to him, and that he informed us that his ummah will reign from these points that he had seen, and he did not mention anything with regards to the south and the north, and this is exactly the case with regards to his ummah. It did not go a lot to the south nor to the north, but rather it went to the distances of the east and the west. وَإِخْبَارُهُ بِأَنَّهُ أُعْطِيَ الْكَنْزَيْنِ. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that he is given the two treasures, and those two treasures that came to his ummah after his death. صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. وَإِخْبَارُهُ بِإِجَابَةِ دَعْوَتِهِ لِأُمَّتِهِ فِي الْإِثْنَتَيْنِ. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has mentioned that his ummah, his supplication was accepted for his ummah with regards to those two affairs. وَإِخْبَارُهُ بِأَنَّهُ مُنِعَ الثَّالِثَ. And likewise, the fact that he was informed that he was prohibited from the third affair, and meaning that they will in some of the wordings, any that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala لا يجعل بَعْثَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ, that Allah will not put their animosity and their enmity between them or amongst them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He did not answer this supplication. And meaning that there will be enmity and there will be hatred between the believers. And this is something that Allah has decreed. So he says here, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ بِوُقُوعِ السَّيْفِ وَأَنَّهُ لَا يُرْفَعُ إِذَا وَقَعَ. And likewise, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed that the sword will fall upon this ummah, and between the Muslims themselves, and that it will not be raised if it falls. And meaning at this time, they will continue to shed each other's blood until the day of resurrection. Iyadhan billah. وَإِخْبَارُهُ بِإِهْلَاكِ بَعْضِهِمْ بَعْضًا وَسَبِي بَعْضِهِمْ بَعْضًا. And the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed that this ummah, they will destroy one another, and they will fight one another, and they will conquer one another, and they will take one another in captive, and all of these affairs, they have happened just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they would happen, but they did not happen until after he died. Salawatullahi wasalamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi. All of these are clear evidences of his prophethood sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says now, rahimahullah, wa khawfuhu ala ummatihi min al-a'imma al-mudhilin. And the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was afraid for his ummah from the misguided from the misguided imams. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned about a drought, and he mentioned about the Muslims fighting each other, and he mentioned sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the kuffar having authority over the believers. But then he said, "Wa inna ma akhafu alaykum al-a'imma al-mudallin." But the only thing I fear for you, he said. He didn't say I fear for you. The kuffar will have power over you. I fear for you. You're gonna fight each other and kill each other and take each other captives. He didn't say sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I fear for you. There's gonna be a drought and a famine. But rather, he mentioned these affairs happening, or he made dua that some of that they will not happen, and these things were mentioned. And then he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but what I fear for you, innama akhafu alaykum, the only thing I fear for you, al-a'imma al-mudillin, the misguided imams. The misguided leaders. The misguided leaders from the rulers, and the misguided leaders from the people of knowledge, and the misguided leaders from the worshippers. Because the rulers, they are followed. And we find now, even today, that there are some Muslim countries that have rulers that are calling to Sufiyya, and have rulers that are building graves, building domes on graves, and at the command of the ruler, at the wealth of the government, and the likes like this, and the people are falling into grave worship because of the command of the rulers, and likewise they're aided by the command of the people of knowledge, and the so-called people of knowledge who are misguided, and who are corrupted and wicked and evil. So whenever the rulers are corrupt, this is a great calamity, and whenever the people of knowledge are corrupt, this is a great calamity, because they have followers who are under them. And likewise, even whenever the worshippers are corrupt, likewise, this is a great calamity, because there are also others who are deceived by them as well, and they follow them. So therefore, al-a'imma al-mudillin, that this is a reference to the hukam. Now, this is with regards to the rulers, the misguided rulers that lead those citizens under their command astray. And likewise, the misguided people of knowledge who lead those who follow them astray. And we have misguided people of knowledge to this day who are calling to shirk and calling to innovation and the name of it, Tawheed, in the name of Al-Islam. Even there are misguided people who claim to have great tazkiyat and the likes like this, and recommendations and diplomas and shahadat, and they have graduated from here and from there, and the likes, and they're claiming that riba is permissible in these lands, and some of them claiming you can say Merry Christmas, and you can go to the Christmas parties, and you can celebrate with the Jews and the Christians on Christmas and Easter and the likes like this, and give gifts, and they say he's the great alama, he's the great scholar, wallahi. This person is a fool. And these individuals like this, they're misguided. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he feared for us from them the most. Innama akhafu alaykum al-a'imma al-mudhillin. And there are other individuals who use the deen to get money. And they ascribe to knowledge, just like the Jews did. Just like the Jews did, they use the dawah for personal gain and personal interest. And this comes clear for those who look detailed into their affairs. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify the affairs of the believers. And likewise, those worshippers, those people who are known for worship and known for striving to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, but they're upon ignorance and they're misguided in that worship. Many of the other Muslims are there deceived by them and tricked by them, and they follow them in their innovation. They see an individual, they see him devoted to worship, but in reality he's upon innovation. Sometimes individuals will be like this. He'll be a worshipper, but he's ignorant, and he'll worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will be devoted in that worship, but he will be upon misguidance. So other individuals will see him, and because of their ignorance of the truth, they will say, oh man, this guy's a devout worshipper, and they'll follow him likewise. They'll follow him in his innovation, and they'll take him as a role model. So therefore, the misguided imams, there are three types. The rulers that are the rulers that have been misguided, and the people of knowledge who have been misguided, and even the worshippers who have been misguided, because they are leaders for those who follow them. Ayyadhan billah. This is an indication of the obligation of learning the correct way and learning the ways of falsehood, so a person can be upon truth and upon clarity. He says, rahimahullah, وَإِخْبَارُهُ بِالظُّهُورِ الْمُتَنَبِّئِينَ فِي هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed of the appearance of those who claim prophethood in this ummah. وَإِخْبَارُهُ بِبَقَاءِ الطَّائِفَةِ الْمَنْصُورَةِ. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed that there will always be remain an aided group, a group that is aided and supported upon the truth. وَكُلُّ هَذَا وَقَعَ كَمَا أَخْبَرَ. And all of this has occurred just like he has informed us sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مَعَ أَنَّ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِنْهَا مِنْ أَبْعَدِ مَا يَكُونُ فِي الْعُقُولِ. And likewise, each one of these things, and they occurred just just as he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, along with all of these things are some of the most furthest things that one could imagine. One could not imagine that there will be individuals who ascribe to Islam, and they make the shahada, and they declare that the Quran is the truth, and they believe that, and then all of a sudden they claim he's a prophet. Subhanallah. And then likewise, that the Muslims, they will turn and they will leave the people of truth, and there will be individuals who take the shahada and they bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship but Allah, but then they will prefer the ways of shirk. Subhanallah. There will be people who hear the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the way to his deathbed, and he's cursing the Jews and Christians for building places of worship on top of the graves, and then all of a sudden people from this ummah, they say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and then they go do that same thing. Subhanallah. Every one of these things is more further away from imagining, but they all occurred. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. Allahu Akbar. Athalitha ashra. The 12th mas'ala. Hashruhu al-khawfa ala ummatihi min al-immat al-mudilin. The 13th benefit, the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had only feared for his ummah from the misguided. that his khawf was focused for his ummah from the misguided imams. From the misguided imams. As has proceeded. He didn't mention that he feared from the disbelievers, or he feared from the drought, or he feared from them fighting each other. But what he mentioned that he feared from, I only fear for you, is the imams that are misguided. Rabi'a ashra, the 14th benefit, atanbihu ala ma'na ibadat al-awthan. The 14th benefit is to draw the attention and remind the meaning of worshipping the idols. The meaning of worshipping idols. Naam. And this is the end of the chapter. In the next chapter, the author, he mentions Babu ma ja'a fi sihr, the chapter with regards to that which has come to the clarification of the rulings with regards to as-sihr and the impermissibility of that, and it's haram. And we continue in the next class, inshaAllah. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.